Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Magazine Rack, where we talk about news and everything gaming. I'm Jack.
I'm Ty.
And I'm Bill.
And today, what are you guys playing?
I decided to finally hop on the bandwagon, and I played Among Us for the first time with some friends these last couple of weeks, and oh my god, I see why everybody hypes it up so much. It's so fun.
See, it requires to have friends to play it, so I haven't really played it. I've seen it, but I haven't played it.
I require friends. You can just jump in.
Yeah, we'll throw you into our Discord server, because it's just so goofy. Because we just, like, you know, we all have, like, this growing pain of, like, trying to figure out the game and having that excuse of, like, well, I don't know where electrical is. I don't know where that is.
Nice.
But now that we're starting to do, like, these, like, 400 IQ plays on each other and, like, self-reporting and, like, doing all the, like, more complex stuff, it's very fun. And being able to immediately say, like, oh, you haven't talked yet, and you usually talk first, so that means that you're the imposter.
I had a guy who, yeah, he self-reported and then completely blamed someone else who's, like, new.
Yeah.
And then she couldn't defend herself, so everyone ganged up on her. But we didn't vote her out. And then, like, the next round, he's like, okay, I definitely saw Kelsey do it. Because Kelsey was in the room with the killer and another person. Killer killed the other person and, like, let the other person, like, that he was blaming get caught. He's like, okay, I'm in the room and I saw her do it. Yeah. And she's like, no, I saw you do it. And so, like, everyone ganged up on her, voted her out, and then he won. It was ridiculous. There's 400 IQ plays there. It was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, we had one where our previous editor Eric, or editor Eric,
he did the main episodes.
Yeah, he killed someone and didn't realize someone else was in the room, but he saw that they were doing a task. So he, like, it was a complete mistake, but he like self-reported. And then he was like hard on it, like, Dan saw, like, I just walked in and Dan was standing right next to a dead body, blah, blah, blah. And Dan was just like, wait, what the hell is going on? I was doing a task. And we're like, maybe it's Dan. And I said, I was just like, maybe Eric's pulling like a 500 IQ play right now and self-reported. And he was like, no. And we ended up just sitting on it. I'm like, okay, we're letting this one pass, but we're all staying in a group and we're finishing the tasks.
That sounds great.
Yeah, those get real intense all the time.
Oh yeah.
Voice. There's a version me and my friends played where you make, it's like hide and seek, where you make the you put the speed all the way up, you make the imposter's vision like basically nothing, the crew members you have supervision, but then the imposter announces who they are and then sabotages comms. So everyone has to go and find their tasks. They can't look on the map. And then they have to avoid the imposter while the imposter tries to chase them. There's no reporting, no ejecting. And you only win by either getting killed or finishing the tasks. And it's a lot of fun because everyone's just scrambling, running around. It's much more fun when you have like everybody in like a voice chat, because then you can be like, oh no, he's over in storage, I just saw him, he ran past me. Like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, because this game basically works similar to like Werewolf or those other games, right? Yeah,
things like that.
Yeah. Mafia, gotcha. Because yeah, like I said, I haven't played it, I just know about it. Yeah, and there's just kind of more complex version of that, which is neat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a surprise, because like that genre of game is super popular. So, I was in like board game world.
Yeah, because it was really big. Counter-Strike had the mode Trouble in Terrorist Town, I think it was. And like that was just always, like, yeah, and it was, you know, it was always a fan favorite.
Hmm.
And it kind of like, you know, the battle royale modes and stuff eventually became like a big thing. So
yeah,
it makes sense to me why it's so popular. And I now that I finally played it, I'm having a lot of fun.
Well, I think it directly plays people, because like you're usually playing with like your friend group, right?
Yeah.
So like it directly has you playing against them and like outsmarting them and like tricking them. And you know how, like, you know, you, if you're playing with Eric, you know his like things he does and stuff like that. So you're really playing them, you know? mm-hmm. which is cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, what about you guys? I've been playing Mortal Shell. You guys hear about that one?
Mortal Shell. It sounds familiar.
I know of it. That's the Souls kind of game, right?
Right. It's that new Souls game that came out a little bit ago. It's real short. I think I beat it in under 10 hours, but it was blast. It was literally like you have your main hub world and there's three branching paths and you go through the path and then beat the boss and then have to make your way back. And because the world changes after you beat the boss, and then you do that all three times, and then you fight the boss in the center, and then you win. So it was short, but man, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. They added this mechanic where instead of blocking, there's no shields. You just have these big great swords and stuff, and you can hard it. You literally freeze in place and turn into stone, and you can do that anytime. You can't, like, you can do it in the middle of a dodge, in the middle of an attack, or being knocked down. And so, like, you can be in the middle of a combo, your stamina almost gone, and then you go stone right as the guy's about to hit you. His attack will go through you, you take no damage, and your stamina recharges while you're in stone. So then you can just keep continuing the combo. It added a whole different, like, depth to the combat with this, as opposed to, like, Dark Souls and Bloodborne and like Sekiro, where you have to like stop and like you can continue combos with this stone hardened system. It was really interesting.
Huh. Interesting.
And there was only four weapons that were all pretty different. And then they had this whole thing where it's called shells, where you can have a different body. That's why it's called Mortal Shell. Each body had specific stats. So, like, your first guy had, 5 points in health, stamina.
And... So, it's kind of roguelike-y?
No.
Or is it kind of like, because I'm thinking of, like, Rogue Legacy, where it's, like, you have your guy, he dies or whatever, you can move to, like, three different persons in your lineage kind of thing.
No, you can actually just change the bodies.
Transform them to different.
Yeah, there's items you can just transform into it. But, like, each body had, like, different stats. So, like, one guy had a little bit of stamina, but a lot of health, like a buttload of health. Mm-hmm. And then one guy had a little bit of health and a lot of stamina. And then another guy had like the average. Another guy had like a mix of them all.
Sure. Makes sense.
And then their skill trees were all different and added things that contributed to their play style. It was really interesting. So you could, depending on which weapon you wanted, maybe you wanted this, hammer and chisel, which is a really quick, low stamina weapon. But then you had the guy with the high stamina, and you could just attack all day, harden, and then just dance around the enemy because he can't do anything because you keep dodging and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it was just there was a lot more strategy in your builds in this than there was in like Dark Souls, where there's like 100 weapons you can pick up, mm-hmm. things like that. I really liked it a lot. It was really fun.
Yeah, I'm a fan when games do something simple but in depth. You know, yeah. Like I don't need Borderlands where there's, you know, a million guns or whatever. Give me, you know, three or four really fun, well built ones or something. Yeah. I often enjoy it more. I mean, that's not to say that it's not fun. Like some of the guns in, you know, Borderlands or Enter the Gungeon or something like that. Those are amazing. Like they're super fun. Yeah. But like, after certain points, like, cool. Sometimes I just want something simple.
Yeah, sometimes the beauty of a game is just in the simplicity. Like, you know, I think my big comparison was Fallout 4 and Undertale. Like, I like both of the games, but the big thing about Fallout 4 is that there's too much to do, and it really feels like you're being pulled in, like, a bunch of different directions.
That's my biggest problem with Bethesda games as a whole. It's just, like, it doesn't feel concise, like, connecting. It's just kind of like, here's this world, go.
Yeah, and it's this 100-hour game where all 100 hours of it, you're having a pretty good time, but Undertale's a 10-hour game where it's wonderful throughout. So I'd rather have a concentrated, really good 10-hour game than I would a pretty good 100-hour game.
Yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm. That's what this was. It was a really good, concentrated 10-hour game. Mm-hmm. But I wish there was longer.
Right. Well, because that was the Mortal Shell, the 2D one?
No, it was a 3D.
Okay. There's a 2D one that came out recently, wasn't there? Like Souls game?
Oh, there's a bunch coming out. Lots Whatever. Of coming out, Kickstarters and stuff.
Yeah. Either way, that's cool.
What about you, Bill?
I've been... The last, like, 2 weeks have been really weird. Like, it's been a weird period of time, I think, for literally everybody around the country.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, glued onto my TV with the news and stuff, but...
Which for those who don't know, this has been the end of the election. Like, they're counting the votes and all that.
That's probably a good...
Unless you're listening to this down the line or something.
Yeah. I was going to jokingly say, like, oh, something newsworthy has been happening.
Yeah, it's the dumpster fire you can't look away from. It's the basically been the theme of 2020. But in between that, I've been kind of like playing stuff here and there. I got back into playing a little bit of Phantasy Star Online 2. And when I'm not doing that, I played some, what was it called? Words are hard. Oh, man. Give me 2 seconds. Yeah, I've been playing Phantasy Star Online 2, which is cool because like I really like the other ones. I downloaded Super Dragon Ball Heroes. Are you guys familiar with that game?
Yeah, game? I have a friend who he played it a bunch. It's the phone game, right?
No, I think that's just Dragon Ball Heroes, or I don't know. It has a different name. Mm-hmm. So Super Dragon Ball Heroes. You remember the Dragon Ball arcade machine in Japan?
Yeah.
So it's the one with the cards.
Yeah,
so they did a port type thing, brought it out. It's out here plus other places where it's all in-game. Because the arcade machine, it's basically two screens. One where, you know, the screen in front of you that you're looking at. And then there's like a kind of, it's not a touch screen, but it's kind of like a touch screen where the cards lay on it. And it reads the cards. And you move your cards to different spots and like, you'll move them all up if you're trying to do an attack thing. Move them back if they're, like, recharging and stuff like that. And you have, like, this bar of health that kind of is your collective team health and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they transported it over to, like, Switch. And I think it's on... Maybe on some other stuff. I can't remember what consoles it all got brought out to. But, yeah, I played that for a couple, and it's interesting. I mean, like... it's fun knowing more because I played it when we were in Japan. I have some of the cards, and it's cool playing this because I'm like, oh, this is how the game actually works. Instead of me trying to fumble around, like not understanding what the Japanese means and just kind of like seeing the motions that it's trying to show you how to play.
Yeah.
But it's been interesting, man. Then I played which is Jack's topic, the Breath of the Wild prequel, Warriors game.
Yeah. Well, what were your impressions of it as a non-Warriors fan?
Yeah, I'm not a big Warriors guy. There were little things I liked about it because like that I think was better from like previous ones, that the little bit that I've been exposed to. I feel like it's a little bit more of a like streamlined experience because I played a little bit of the original one. I've enjoyed this one more. Still not quite my cup of tea, but it's decent. Some of the storytelling is kind of weird feeling, but same thing with the original Breath of the Wild. So, you know, mm-hmm. take that as it is. Okay. So I was very mixed on it. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it either.
Mm-hmm.
It made me almost not want to play the rest of it.
That's fine. I feel like that's what people are going to go into this with the wrong idea. They're expecting this to be a new kind of game that's not hack and slashy or just mashing the button. When it absolutely is, it's a Warriors game through and through.
Yeah.
And I already know that because I play the demo and going in, but I'm a huge Warriors fan. I've been playing like every Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors, and
I think just about as long as I've known you, you've been playing all of them.
Yeah, so, the stuff that they added into this game is just so in. There's so many layers and so many new things you can do that adds a lot of fun strategy to it. Because at its heart, Dynasty Warriors is a strategy game. you can absolutely mash your buttons to, you know, kill 1,000 guys. But if you use your strategy and your combos and your skills that you have, you can do some really amazing stuff. And especially in this game, because they added simple mechanics from Breath of the Wild, the elemental system. They sprinkle puddles all around, metal boxes, grass, and you get the elemental wands, the fire, lightning, and ice wands.
Yeah, that's cool. Interesting.
And those all contribute to different things. Like if you zap someone in the water, then they all get, everyone gets zapped.
They brought the elemental mechanics of that game in.
Yep.
And if I can say one thing. Yeah, it's kind of like in the middle for me where the Persona 5 Scramble brought, I felt like I was in that, like, I felt like I was playing a Persona game with Warriors mechanics. I think I brought this up one of the last times we recorded. This one was kind of a step back from that, but still a step forward overall. Like, I felt like this one was a step in the same direction as, like, Hyrule Warriors, where, like, it's a step further than that one, if that makes sense.
Yes, it absolutely was.
Yeah.
And then they add, you know, the ruins, the Sheikah Slate.
Those
are fun. Stations.
I had fun with those.
That's really cool because each character uses it differently.
Differently, yeah. A little
similar.
I thought that was neat.
Yeah, especially Zelda. Zelda's entire moveset is the Sheikah Slate.
Oh, of the characters, who'd you play the most? Same.
Actually, I found some really neat mechanics that they don't explain in the game. You know how
I like to play style a lot.
Yeah, she's so fast and just it looks cool visually.
Yeah, it's the most unique, I think, of the characters we got to play.
Mm-hmm. But like with her shadow clones, you have to like tag
enemies.
Shadow clones, you tag enemies. And then you hold the charge button to take the ruin that you tag them with. But you can tag three enemies and then take in all those ruins and they get all your shadow clones right away. They don't explain that to you, but you can totally do that.
Yep.
And then that changes your moveset a lot.
It's really cool.
That was really cool. Link is really interesting because... You have like your regular attack combo. You just hit the regular attack, and then you have a charge attack for each combo. Mm-hmm. Now they added another layer on top of that, where if you use a charge attack and then hold it, Link will have a new charge move. And it's unique per charge attacks. So it's not the same like in Hyrule Warriors, where he just does a spin move.
Yeah.
It's different for each one, and it's so cool. There's just so many new things that Link can do.
Cool. I felt Zelda was the most boring of the three.
Yeah, and that's because they don't give you a lot of her moveset. She really has less attack. She only has three.
Is it like locked behind the rest of the game or something?
Yeah. You can upgrade it once, and it's only a fourth normal attack. But as you progress through the game and level up your characters, they get more attacks and more charge attacks and more combos. Gotcha. And they lock that behind the demo, of course.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Everyone is going to get more attacks, so it's going to be really cool once Zelda gets all the way full. I'm sure she's going to have a lot of really neat things.
Cool,
but she was really good when you do some air attacks. If you can get in the air with her, that's really good.
That was the thing. Yeah, some of the air combos. Well, it's cool because they had the like running up walls mechanic.
Yeah, that's really neat. They add that. That's
interesting. Yeah, that's not normal for those games, right?
Nope. That's new. Yeah. And that's where you can get more air attack stuff in there.
Yeah.
Not every character has an air attack in the beginning. Usually your first charge attack is going to be like your normal, and then charge attack is your air combo. But most characters don't have that, it looks like. But I'm super excited. And I think we know who's all going to be in the game because someone... you know, hack the game and found icons that are supposed to be on the maps.
Yeah.
So I think we know who all the characters are.
Oh, nice.
It's a good bit. Yeah.
You were concerned before about there not being enough, right?
I thought there would be, you know, maybe like 10 or 3, 13
Three.
But it looks like there may be more.
Cool.
At least four of them are going to be in the you get them after the story in like free mode or the adventure mode. Because if they put them in the story, I'd be very upset.
Are they characters that just like wouldn't make sense?
Yeah, it's the four champions from the Breath of the Wild who don't exist yet.
We knew that they were going to be in like playable, right?
No. Those were the original champions, the new champions in Breath of the Wild. That Link has to go and find. They're not young. Like they don't exist in this Age of Calamity game, but they have icons on the map. So,
interesting. They might
be playable characters. And I can see them throwing in this story because the story is about time.
Fair.
It's time travel, and it makes me really mad that they went that route. It's such a cop out, but whatever.
We'll see how they do it. It could just be like a mission that's like, here's the origin or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's going to be great. I'm going to love every second of it.
What was it, the 19th? 20th? Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
It's so much great because I have time to take in my Demon Souls.
Your PS5.
My PS5, which is coming on the 12th.
I keep forgetting that it's like right here. It doesn't feel real, you know?
Right.
Guys, that's 3 days.
I know.
God.
Guess who gets to get up at like 5 a.m. to go to Best Buy?
Oh, boy.
What was it? Me and the fiance are just like, we're just waiting on it. Because we're like, we don't care about the like launch titles. Like, let's just...
Yeah,
like no pressure.
I wanted to experience Miles Morales in the best possible way. cool. Ty, what was your topic?
I'm going to talk about rollback netcode and Guilty Gear, as well as Tekken. I recently found out. So, for those who don't know, Guilty Gear. I'm going to double check the actual name of the game.
That's pretty normal for Guilty Gear.
Guilty Gear X and Core Plus? Yes. So, oh god. Guilty Gear XX Accent Core Plus R, usually people just call it Accent Core, it just got re-released on Steam. And along with it was a beta that you could join, and they were testing out rollback netcode, which is something that a lot of fighting game players have been asking for like years. And so they're like, okay, cool. We're going to re-release this classic fan favorite game. We're going to put rollback on it. We're going to see how you guys like it. And it's been like taking over the FGC. Everybody's been playing it now because the rollback's really good. There's people playing like in the States, playing Japanese players and experiencing like little to no lag.
That's awesome.
And like being able to play just across the world without having to worry about lag, which is the number one issue in online fighting games.
Yeah, precise. Like any latency, anything is terrible.
Yeah, and Tekken producer director Harada, he kind of saw this, you know, general wave of hey, we want rollback netcode, and they're testing it on Tekken 7 with Season 4.
That's awesome.
And he's been going through and sharing people's videos of them playing people across the world. There was a game of a guy in California playing against someone in Italy, and it was like no lag.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So this is something that people have been really hyping up, and you know, some people have been kind of critical of it. Like ultimately, the most important thing is please use an Ethernet cable when you're playing fighting games online. I know your Wi-Fi is great. I know your Wi-Fi is probably really good. Use an Ethernet cable.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Good Wi-Fi is nowhere near the same category as good Ethernet.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't have a good way of like setting up Ethernet in my room, like in my apartment, you know, my room.
Yeah.
You don't have an Ethernet cable out port. So like if I wanted to do something like that, I have to go into the living room, set up an Ethernet cable specifically for that, and like bring my PlayStation in there and stuff. I'm just like, I'm not doing that. But also not really playing fighting games, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So I haven't had time to test it, sadly. I've been busy with work and stuff. But if you're interested in old Guilty Gear games, if you're interested in like a classic fighting game, It was on sale for $3 on Steam.
Oh, jeez.
But it just went back up to 15.
That's still not bad.
Yeah. Like, for a really old, really good fighting game, that's if you want to get into anime fighters, like, this is the game to do it on. It's perfect. But, yeah, so I'm excited to mess around with it. I'm excited to be able to play online without having to, like, you know, super worry about lag. Like, that's the one reason whenever anybody challenges me, I'm like, we have to do it face to face.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you'll be able to play more like that.
I don't want to deal with someone's Fisher Price router. I want to play face to face.
Dang, Fisher Price.
Well, you know, that's with insane. The new PS5, with that sharing screen thing,
yeah,
they might make matches super. Like, there might be no lag because of the whole sharing your screen thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From what they showed off, it looks really impressive.
Yeah.
We should do a special thing on PS5, you and me, Jack.
Yeah, we could totally do that. Just like deep dive into it.
Yeah. We just tell Tyler all the cool stuff and then make him feel sad.
Yeah. And then I'll run out to the store and immediately buy a PS5.
Good luck.
We'll see.
You got other things you worry about.
Exactly. But yeah. So yeah, I'm super excited for the Guilty Gear team. I'm super excited for Arxis. I really hope that this is like indicative of a larger trend. Because if we could get every game with rollback netcode, ugh.
It seems like it's going to become the standard if it's that like large of a thing. Like, it's that big of a deal, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
But how about you, Bill?
My topic. So I'm a big Mass Effect nerd. Yesterday was N7 Day, which is November 7th. Every year, that's kind of like when announcements and like little things come out about it. We've got there was a great blog post that they did formally announcing, because there's been rumors since before the summer that we were going to see a Mass Effect trilogy like remaster.
Yeah.
It was officially announced yesterday. It's called the Legendary Edition. And there's a lot of really interesting, like, little things about it. So one of the big rumors, and this is neither confirmed nor denied, is that it's going to be, like, ground up, full remake, like, rebuild of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if that's true or not. The rumor was it was supposed to get announced, and there was a lot of issues trying to get that better. And that's why it's delayed, or that's why it got pushed back. Like, people were expecting it was going to be end of this year, it was going to actually come out. Now it's going to be spring 2021. That's a rumor. I feel like, from what I've seen, it seems pretty grounded. Don't know for sure, though. Mm-hmm. But we know that they've been working on it for months and months, trying to get things, like, right and good. There's a lot of interesting little things, but it's going to be everything. It's going to be the DLC, all the, like, promo weapons, armors, stuff like that, that some people might have not seen. It's going to be fully 4K Ultra. What'd you say?
All the DLC?
All the DLC.
Because, like, remember when they re-released, like, 3 or something? And, like, or no, they, like, did a collector's edition. It didn't have all the DLC. Yeah.
It didn't have the Mass Effect 3 DLC. It had all the other DLC, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I was really mad about that.
That was annoying. but yeah, this has everything. Promos, skins, armor packs, everything. All remastered and like upgraded for 4K Ultra. It's going to be on PS4, PS5, PC, Xbox One, Xbox X, everything. And they tease that they're actually like, I don't know if they've really gone into detail, but they're working on the actual next chapter of Mass Effect, which we all know after Andromeda left a lot of like unknown if they're actually going to like do it right or what was going on.
Yeah.
It was hard to play through coming from a Mass Effect. Like I'm a big BioWare person in general, or at least was. And hearing that makes me really excited because like, hopefully they learned from Andromeda of like, hey, this like what not to do. Cause there's a lot of issues with Andromeda. I mean, just like Anthem, like that was the two games back to back that was just hard for me to deal with.
Yeah, we're BioWare fans pre Anthem and Andromeda. Like everything before was great.
It was gold. I mean, it's what made BioWare my favorite company for games. Like, you knew day one immediately, I'm going to be pre ordering that game. Now I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. But
I have so much love for the original trilogy that I don't think there's any way that it's not going to be a day one pre-order, and I'm just going to spend a couple weeks in my room. So So, yeah, I think, I don't know, there's a lot of good stuff. They a company called Space Lab 9 announced that they're doing a vinyl. There's an old vinyl that came out years ago that is like, I think like $400 or $500 now. It's a beautiful set. This one is, it sounds like they're going to do it right as well. I think it's going to be a smaller selection of the soundtrack. The other one was a 4 LP. I think this one might be a 3 or 4 LP. I can't remember. But it's going to have spot UV on it. It's going to have a bunch of like foiling and stuff. I'm very excited. That's supposed to come out. The rumor, I think it said February. I can't remember what the article said. Either way, there's supposed to be some cool Mass Effect stuff coming our way. And I'm very, very excited. Yeah, I think that's about it for me on my end. There wasn't like a huge amount of like news through it, but I'm just super excited.
Yeah. Well, if we're ready to pass on, something I want to say really quick is that usually when you're going through a magazine, it has those little things where you scratch it and it plays a bit of, or like, you know, smells like perfume.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. What are those called?
Yeah. Like perfume samples, I assume. Well, we don't have those. So spray some Febreze in your face. And here's the advertisements. It smelled okay. I'm going to stick with my normal cologne. But anyway, moving on to our big story. Bill's the one that has the article in front of him. So
don't show like behind the curtain there, Ty.
Too bad.
So the big news story of the week is that Sega is out of the arcade ownership business. So all three of us, how many years ago? Was it 2 years now? 2 years
ago now, yeah.
Yeah, we went to Japan together. It was us plus two others. And we spent a decent amount of time at Akihabara. At least me and Ty did, I know. And, you know, riddled throughout is these very iconic looking Sega arcades. And it was just loaded full of people, loaded full of arcades. It was really cool. I know Ty had like a prolific experience doing some Street Fighter and some of those arcades and stuff.
Oh yeah, I went to an older one that wasn't Sega, but the Sega one was still incredibly impressive.
It was crazy. It was super cool. I wish we had arcades like that, like findable around here. I mean, we have Galloping Ghost, which is amazing. Like that place is phenomenal. But
at the same time, Galloping Ghost doesn't have like the top of the line Japanese arcade machines that are still coming out.
It's a very different like vibe because it's like this is the new stuff. This is what's coming out that you don't get over there because you have the weird like new technologies they're implementing. You have the things that you stepped into the pods and you're playing the game
or the cart. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
Oh, I was gonna say or the card games. Like we don't have Sengoku Shitaisen over here.
Dragon Ball Heroes, come on now.
Or Super Dragon Ball Heroes.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of stuff, and like it's interesting because you see some of the stuff get implemented in other games out here, but not, you know, we're not getting those arcade games and stuff, which are super cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so cool. So it sounds like they're selling it to a company. They're not leaving the arcade business. They're still producing arcade like cabinets and stuff. Yeah, they're games. No longer owning the places. It sounds like they'll be retaining the Sega name for the arcade signage and branding, though, which I didn't know until just a little bit ago. So it's like it's still going to be labeled Sega. It's literally just the ownership, I guess.
Yeah.
They're selling 85.1% of its stock to a company named Genda. They're already a Tokyo-based arcade amusement like machine rental company. So it's kind of like they're not going very far out, it seems like, you know, and it's just the ownership of the business of that. So it's like, cool, we're not really seeing a huge business change. But it's still one of those like big end of the like it's end of an era thing where it's like, whoa, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's understandable. Like, because obviously arcades in Japan are much larger and much more popular than arcades here.
Yeah.
Like, an arcade's lucky if it lasts more than a couple of years here, unless it's iconic. And even then, that's still a throw up.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a handful of them, but like, even like 10, 15 years ago, I feel like there's way less than there used to be. Like,
yeah.
I remember, you know, you have to go a decent ways, but not like super far either. You mm-hmm. find a decent arcade. Now it's like, you find like the one really dedicated arcade, and that's about it. Like, we have Galloping Ghosts out here, and that's we're super privileged to have that because it's one of the biggest of arcades in the world.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah, the only other ones are like attached to bars, and that's how they keep their income.
Yeah, and I do love me some barcades, though, I have to admit.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean, right now we have the growth of barcades, and that's a whole nother thing. Yeah. Barcades are cool. I don't like going in there and feeling obligated always to get a good drink. Like, I want to go and play games. Like, I'm a cool dude and I'm a gamer, right?
You'll, like, go in and then, like, make eyes at the bar, like, nod at him and just walk to the back and play some games and then leave.
Like, well, it'd be weird for me now because I'll have to, like, start being like, could I get a Pepsi or Coke? Like, I haven't been drinking, as you know. So it's like, it's even more weird to go to a barcade and be like, can I get a Coke, and like go into the back and they don't see me again.
Yeah. Because like, I really like barcades, but I was pretty spoiled by going to Gameworks in Schaumburg. And the Gameworks in Schaumburg, it's been kind of on this decline where they're opting more for like ticket games and, you know, kind of the easy money makers.
Yeah, I was there last year.
And something that they used to do, I mentioned this before, but they had a game called Sengoku Shitaisen, which was a Japanese arcade game where you got cards and you moved the cards around and stuff. And it was like this super experimental game that like it was popular in Japan. We're trying it out in the States and it was awesome. And then it also got Street Fighter 4 before it released. And then it got Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition when it released. Like, it was able to get these like cutting edge Japanese games, and they were amazing. They were so fun and very popular, but they still lost out to the Terminator game that you have to pay $10 to play.
No.
And so the place has been like, at least in terms of a brand new experience, wasn't great, which is why I loved being in Japan, because we got to try out those games. But like, the thing is, I got spoiled by Gameworks. So when I go to a barcade and they've got like Street Fighter 2, it's like, all right, that's fine. Mortal Kombat, okay, that's fine. And then like,
I feel like the most of the ones in my nearby area, it's like they have a lot of like the classic beat 'em ups and stuff, but they don't get a
retro arcades.
What'd you say?
Yeah.
They're retro arcades. They don't have new stuff.
Yeah.
And, well, they're also not super focused on like fighting games and stuff either, which I feel like is the bigger like thing for like the newer stuff, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So it's definitely kind of missing something with it.
Yeah. Because like, it's just, like I said, I was just so spoiled by playing Sengoku Shitaisen. Because it was so advanced and so crazy. I'm like, I want more of this. And I didn't see that again until we got to Japan.
Yeah.
And I think what was interesting about the arcades in Japan is that they would have like dozens of the same machine.
Yeah.
Dozens of the same fighting games and stuff. Because people, it's different out there. Like, people love arcades out there. They like, lots of people want to play the same game. So they sit down and there's going to be like a dozen Tekken.
Well, I feel like it's
arcade machines.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like it's a different kind of, I mean, obviously it's a different kind of culture, right?
Yeah.
Like, people out here, people go out, you know, and dedicate their time to drinking or whatever, versus like, hey, I need to go let off some steam after work or something. Mm-hmm. It's a little different of a thing. Like, people obviously go out and drink out in Japan. Like, we saw it. But it's the way that people go about doing stuff. Yeah. I think
gaming is. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It's them taking their time and going out and doing it rather than add on to drinking.
Yeah, arcade gaming's more of a social experience now in America. Because in Japan, it can be a social experience. You can go out and play Street Fighter with your friends. But, you know, in Japan, it also had that very individualistic, like, here's my ID card. I'm going to get farther in this game. I'm going to get a better collection in this game. And we just don't have that here.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then there's also, like, one thing I like about Galloping Ghosts, and you seeing it, because, like, people who retain the records and stuff, where it's like, hey, this is the best one I've ever gotten on this machine, or things like that. That you can have a sense of pride to it. So like, you have people who are super into that out here, but it's a bit different because it's limited. It might be like place by place and stuff like that. Whereas some people could be like, hey, I'm the best there is, you know? Which is kind of cool. I mean, you still get that in like big tournaments and stuff, but like, it's just different.
Yeah, definitely.
That was a weird tangent, I guess. Sorry.
No, you're good. Like, that's true. Because the thing is, we have this almost like competitiveness in the States where we want these world records and stuff. And that's a lot of the individualistic experience when playing an arcade machine in America. In Japan, it's like, oh, this game is super long and I want to collect everything.
Yeah. I mean, I know for me when I was playing, like playing that beat 'em up or like, okay, X-Men Arcade, right? I want to get through the entire game. I'll play it all. I love it, right? Same thing with Simpsons, Ninja Turtles, things like that. That's what kept me coming back and like getting my friends and playing through it. Sunset Riders, what was that? D&D, Towers Over Mystara or whatever.
Oh my God, that game is amazing.
I love that game. One of my favorite arcade experiences was playing that with a full like party of four people, playing through it in its entirety together.
Yeah.
I think it was in like St. Louis at a barcade or something. And that was just so much fun. Like just having four of us playing through the entire game. Oh, that was so much fun. But I mean, yeah, like I have, like, you could have prolific experiences through it and stuff like that. And like, I think people have those experiences with arcades still, but you know, I don't think we see as much of the stuff getting produced in a sense out here, or we get it on consoles rather than arcades.
Yeah, there's only so many like arcade companies in the States. One of them is actually in Chicago, and it's Raw Thrills.
Oh,
I actually have a friend that works there, and you know they're still doing these like personal experiences, which is cool. But you know, as opposed to Japan, where you've got a bunch of companies doing it,
I need to start buying more boards for my more PCBs for my arcade cabinet. Because like, I love it, and I love Tekken 3, but man, I want Tekken Tag, because that's my favorite.
Oh, yes.
And I want, there's so many other games that I'm like, cool, I could buy a board for this, and like, the problem is that they get kind of expensive. Like, some of them are super cheap, and some of them are super expensive. It varies, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, getting them is kind of a pain in the butt.
I mean, I'm still trying to get, my dream is to get a Candy Cab, like one of the small ones, small Japanese size, and then get Darkstalkers on it, which is gonna be its own nightmare, but...
I'm like halfway there for my Tekken Tag. I'm like, I need to just buy the board and then I'm set, basically. My roommate wants to do a like overall board where it has like a ton of different games on it, one of the multi boards kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm about having the authentic thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because I really like, I bought this thing. I didn't really have much space for it. I shouldn't have bought it, but I'm like, I want this so bad. It's one of my it's one of my big like bucket list things. I'm like, I've always wanted to own one of these. It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's not the nicest one, but I love it. Like, it's mine, you know? So I'm glad. That was also a fun experience going out to Wisconsin to pick it up in the rain. And it's not just my cabinet. It was my cabinet and somebody else's I was getting for them. And it was, that was like a driving one, which is way nicer than the one I was, but I'm like, I don't need a driving cabinet. And I'm like, I know I could probably like change it out, but it's, I like to keep like, cause that one was a dedicated one.
Yeah.
So most old, or maybe not most, but there's a lot of old cabinets that were literally just like blank slates, basically. And then you put the graphics on, you put the thing in. Like, if you're an arcade, you'd buy the graphics, you'd buy the board, you'd buy stuff like that, and you put them into your own, you know, build. So you didn't have to pay like a bajillion dollars in shipping a wooden housing, right?
Yeah.
Tekken 3 was one of those. I know later ones, like I know Tekken 7, I know Tekken Tag, and a couple other ones had dedicated like decal, like setup ones. There probably is some for Tekken 3, which is what I have. But as a majority sake, a large chunk of them are these like out of the box housing, basically. Because it'd just be a PCB you'd plug in and call it a day, basically.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, I don't mind changing it out now that I know. Because my initial understanding was that it was an original, because I got off Craigslist, it's that it was an original setup. Then I found out and changed multiple times. At one point, it was a Turtles arcade. Or wait, no, X-Men, not Turtles.
Oh, interesting.
There's a label on the back door to my cabinet that says, I believe it was either X-Men or Turtles. I'm pretty sure it was X-Men. Hmm. And it said, like, what it was, and it was that. I don't know what it was before that, because you could tell that it wasn't originally one of those two, because the dedicated ones, the ones that are, like, specifically that with the original decals and stuff, are different.
They're usually larger, aren't they?
Well, there's multiple different styles. There's the two-player ones, there's the four-player ones, there's the, I think, depending on the game, like X-Men, there's six-player ones.
Yeah.
Which is what most people remember, is the larger ones, the four- to six-player ones. But that's not necessarily the case. They were rarer, but they existed, those two-player ones. So, because you could just play two-player on the six-person cabinet, you know? Like, what was the point? So only a handful. I don't think that many places got them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. there's a little bit of an arcade rant for us.
Yeah. Our little arcade episode.
Yeah, right?
It's going to be sad we don't get to experience the Sega Arcade one last time.
Yeah. Well, in its original form.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anything's really changing. It's just ownership.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah.
We'll see. There's nothing we can do about it, obviously.
Yeah. It's not like we can do an impromptu trip to Japan right now. It's
not like America is able to travel.
I mean, we could barely make an impromptu trip up the Galloping Ghost, and that's not that far for any of us, you know?
Yeah.
They're not even open.
They are open.
Are they? Oh, good.
What was it? They've actually been getting some blowback from their world record holders because they're not doing any COVID security. Doing very little. Like, you have to wear a mask, but they're not enforcing it.
Oh, really? That sucks. Oh, man. But they've been doing like live streams here and there where they'll do. They always do like new game Mondays or whatever, where they're
mystery game Monday.
Mystery Mondays, yeah. And that's super dope because it's like. It's like every week they're still popping out new cabinets. I'm like, how do you have like all of these? It's insane.
Where you put them?
Right. Well, they're trying to fundraise for another addition to the building.
Oh, really?
Yeah, already bought out their neighbor.
Yeah, it's like the third or fourth time they've done this, I think. It's insane. And they have another, like, they have the warehouse that's full of stuff too. It's crazy. It's amazing. They've been doing other live streams. I think it's like Thursdays or every once in a while. It's not every week or whatever. But in order to fundraise for the new edition, they've been selling like PCBs, promotional stuff, marquees, things like that. And it's been cool. I've almost bought a couple of PCBs, but at the same time, I'm like, I need to save my money. because it's never one. The ones that have come up, there's been once or twice where I've almost done it, but somebody bids just above what I'm willing to spend on it kind of thing. It's like, it's still a good deal, but I'm cheap. but, you know, they do some crazy stuff on there where it's like, holy crap, you have that, where there's like four of these in existence, you know, that kind of stuff that they've offered to sell at the very least. And they've been selling some full-size cabinets, some rare ones too, which is really cool. Yeah. I think that's about it on my end of it. You guys have anything else you want to add in?
I'm good.
Oh, we're good.
Well,
slow news day or week.
Yeah. Weeks. So slow news weeks, at least for games. Yeah. I fully expect in the next week or two to have a bunch more stuff between the PS5.
PlayStation coming out. Yeah.
PS5, Xbox Series X, things like that. Maybe cool features we find out or debacles because somebody did something wrong or whatever. I think there'll be stuff to talk about, but I think everyone's just kind of like, I know myself, at least I've been waiting to like pick up anything specifically because there's the new stuff the new consoles coming out and it's going to run everything better. Like my load times are going to be a fraction of what they were and stuff like that. So I'm like, I might as well just wait the couple days to get the PS5. I'll play random stuff that I've been trying to do. I've been playing my mobile game nonstop and I got some good pulls on that. So I think that's it for this episode. That's the magazine rack. This has been Bill.
Ty.
And Jack.
And we'll see you next time.